It really is inexplicable, and we've been discussing it at great length. The report that came down that shows, in spite of escalating prices, an inflation rate of annual inflation rate of 5.4%, up from 4% a year ago, in spite of one in five American families being wiped out from their savings during COVID, we had a record 4.3 million people quit their jobs in the month of September. Almost 3% of our labor force just up and quitting. And this is with a labor participation rate that was already anemic. So how are they doing it? David Sowerby, our favorite economist on the Paul W. Smith Show, Ancora Advisors Managing Director and Portfolio Manager, joins us today. David, good morning.
Very good morning, Guy.
With prices escalating, wages are rising, but not keeping up with inflation. Social Security COLA rising, but not keeping up. How are folks able to quit in this economy?
It really just comes down to the biggest issue is incentives. I'm going to borrow the often used quote from Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's longtime partner. Tell me the incentive, I'll tell you the outcome. And in many respects, we've reduced the incentives to work, largely due to some of the very generous unemployment benefits, the significant fiscal stimulus. And even while many of the unemployment benefits have run out, I think the lingering effect is it's taken many people out of the desire to work in the labor force, even though small businesses will tell you it's at a record level that they can't fill jobs relative to the supply and the demands that they want. More than anything, I think sadly we've created a disincentive to work.
But is it a little bit more complicated than that? Yeah, maybe that provides people the wherewithal to make these decisions, but they're making them because they are personally dissatisfied in many cases. And I'm also hearing from employers that are saying, look, my people, we continued working through COVID and the pandemic, and in many cases we had to boost the number of hours that people were working because others were sick or had to go home to take care of kids that were home from school. So they're burned out, and they've also amassed an incredible amount of overtime. Is that also playing a factor in this?
Absolutely. To assign it, as I not to mislead anybody, to assign it to 100% to incentives would be disingenuous. We have created an environment where those who were working because others chose not to, were worked very hard, big overtime, and at some point they probably just said it's just not worth it, and they themselves dropped out of the labor force. That as well, it could be that we saw certainly in the 80s and 90s that is more labor force participation rates rose. Partly because more women entered the labor force, that has subsided a bit. That too, as people have chosen to have a different choice in their lifestyle. So it's not just one factor. But at the end of the day, for this country to grow, it's productivity and its labor force. And if we're not growing our labor force, we slow down our long-term speed
right,
to grow the economy and create wealth and a higher standard of living.
So we've removed some of those incentives not to work. As you point out, the federal pandemic unemployment benefit has expired. What more do we need to do? Yesterday, the president made the announcement that they were going to take the Port of Los Angeles, increase it to a 24/7 operation. I don't know what took so long to do that as they saw container ships amass on the coast. And that only fixes one link in a very complicated supply chain. What more do we need to do to get people back on the job, especially moving goods and services?
Well, the short answer, and it's not, and it doesn't make it this simple, is let the private sector figure it out so that they can encourage people to come back to work. Let incentives work their way through the system. For the government, try to figure out what they need to do and what they don't need to do. And if they need to reduce regulation and how many hours a port can stay open to accept goods, that's good because I think that's a modest form of deregulation. But if government thinks that they're going to solve the problem themselves, usually you and I know the outcome of that. Good intentions, bad outcomes.
We're witnessing something that, NBC just did a long piece on, and that is that the John Deere plant, UAW workers are on strike in Hollywood. I mean, from the heartland to Hollywood, there are now strikes, and we could see this increase because labor unions know that they've got employers over a barrel here with this worker shortage. How much is that going to add to our costs as they are looking for 5% and 6% wage increases on top of some of the wage increases that we already had during the pandemic?
We're going to find out pretty quickly, and closer to home, we'll find out probably the next time there's more significant UAW negotiations that, encouragingly, the car companies are better equipped to be profitable, to generate cash flow. We see that the last 6 to 7 months, inflation has stayed sticky, not transitory, at 5.5%. All those factors are going to lead the unions to, as they probably should, seek higher wages for their workers. We're going to find this out, I think, especially here in Michigan, the next major labor negotiation that we see front and center in this state.
But does that extend the transitory inflation that we've seen, because you've got this cost push inflation as unions take advantage of the situation, and you know, non-unionized workers may as well, and say, hey, you're going to pay me more here. Well, that's fine, but you and I will pay for it once we get the products and services they produce.
In the short term, it certainly does. Longer term, I think inflation is always a monetary event. The reason inflation is running so high is because since February 2020, the Federal Reserve has grown the money supply by over 30%.
Okay.
And that's been good for the economy, but it's led to higher inflation.
And very quickly, David, before I let you go, one of the things that one of the supply chain experts said yesterday is we do need some government intervention. We may need the National Guard to work the ports if we can't find enough people or enough truckers. And we may need to allow more temporary visas to bring in foreign workers if we can't get American workers to do the jobs. Are those relevant and reasonable paths to take?
If it's letting the private sector help government guide us to a solution for this supply chain constraint problem, then I'm all for it, recognizing that this is significant. We're going to see a lot, Guy, with this upcoming quarterly earnings report. So many companies are going to be talking about labor shortages, inflation, and supply chain constraints. That's going to be front and center when companies talk about profits now and profits looking forward. And profits are what creates jobs.
Yeah, no question. David, have a wonderful morning, and thanks so much for lending us your expertise, as you always do on a regular basis. We sure appreciate it.
Always my pleasure, too. Thank you, Guy.
Ancora Advisors Managing Director and Portfolio Manager David Sowerby, who also sends me graphs every time we talk because he knows I need visuals. We appreciate that as well.